morning on Facebook that we had closed on the building, and there was, I checked right before service this morning, there were 240 likes on that. So that building will seat 200, so we're going to pack it out before we get there. I did have the pastor, Lee, he told me, went over to the new building they moved into, right off Tate's Creek, and it's quite a good-sized building. And I asked him what size his congregation was, and he said it's very transitory. In other words, they don't have a lot of Koreans in Lexington, and a lot of them that come, they're kind of passing through for a short time, and then they'll move on. So they're kind of struggling a little bit. So he told me, he says, who knows, maybe 10 years later you'll be buying this building. I thought, well, okay. So anyway, you just never know how the Lord might work. It's amazing how He has worked, and we're so thankful. In the Gospel of John, chapter 21, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to John, chapter 21. Have you ever known anybody who has made a profession of faith, and it seems like right after they make a profession of faith, they kind of walk right away, and they kind of get lost, and they just kind of drop out? Or how about somebody who maybe, and I've mentioned this before, but I know people that I've gone to school with and men who say they're called to preach, and it seems like sometimes some that I've run into, they're not even in church now. And it kind of makes you wonder. You kind of wonder what's going on with people who seem to just drop out of sight after they say they are making a commitment unto the Lord. What reasons could there be for something like that? I think one of the biggest reasons that pops into my mind is some people just doubt the love of God. Some people might have been hurt by other Christians or those who call themselves Christians. Some people just flat make a false profession of faith. We should not question God's love for us. The Word of God says God is love. The question that we should ask is, do I love the Lord? And that's my question to you tonight. Do you love the Lord? I want you to look at the background of what we're talking about here tonight in chapter 21. As we come to the close of John's Gospel as he's writing, I want you to keep your finger here, because this is where we're going. And if you'd like to turn over, you can just listen to me read where I'm turning over to. Matthew 16. In Matthew chapter 16. And in the Word of God in verse 16. Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And Peter speaks up and answers and says, you are the Christ, you're the Messiah, the chosen one. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to notice how our Lord addresses Peter. First he says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Whenever you read the word Bar before a name, or it's in the name as far as the last name, Simon Bar-Jonah, it means very simply, Simon, son of Jonah. And then after that, our Lord calls him, your name is Peter, or little stone. And his name changed there. There was a change in Peter, because what was revealed to him was that Jesus was the Messiah. And it was a very bold statement. I want you to look in John chapter 13. In John the 13th chapter, and look down in verse 36. In verse 36, this is the night before our Lord was crucified, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? Whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto the Lord, Why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered, Will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Peter said he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord even to the point of death. He would die for the Lord. And then what we find in reading the Word of God, Peter's love had slipped for the Lord. I have no doubt that Peter, as he walked with the Lord, he loved the Lord. But Peter then denied the Lord. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, Luke 22, and down in verse 59, it says, And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The Lord looked at Peter when he denied the Lord the third time. Can you imagine the look the Lord gave Peter? And Peter, when he saw the Lord look at him after he had denied him, the Word of God says, Peter went out and wept bitterly. What we find in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 74, it says that when Peter was accused of being one of Jesus' disciples on that last time he was accused, the Word of God says he actually cursed and denied it. Peter did not just deny the Lord, he cursing denied the Lord. What has transpired from that point is that our Lord Jesus Christ was brutally tortured and hung upon a cross. He died. He was buried. But he is risen again. And Peter has seen the empty tomb. He has seen Jesus Christ on two other occasions before we get to John chapter 21. He has seen him. And then in chapter 21, what we find, Peter says, I go a-fishing. And their other disciples say, We're going fishing with you. So they go 60 to 80 miles up north, long trek back in that time, and they go fishing. And as they're out on the boat fishing, they catch nothing all night. They're casting the net, drawing it in, casting the net, drawing it in, nothing. And we read in John's Gospel that Jesus was on the shore the next morning. It was very early. And as it's very early in the morning, the disciples, they have no fish in the boat. They're worn out. And Jesus calls out to them. He had to be yelling, Children, have you any food? Do you have any fish? Did you catch anything? And they did not tell a fisherman's lie. They said no. And so Jesus tells them, cast your net on the right side of the ship. And they've done trolled them waters all night long. So they cast the nets on the right side of the ship, and they were not able to draw the fish in. And the disciple that Jesus loved, that would have been John, said, It is the Lord. It's kind of like a flashback of something the Lord had told him earlier. And Peter realized it, and he jumped into the water, and he swam to shore. Everybody else is in the boat. Peter takes off after him. The Lord, in verse 12, says, Come and dine. And notice what the Word of God says in verse 12. And they did not ask him, Who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. So Jesus cooks a breakfast. And he invites his disciples to come and dine. And they come and eat with him. A meal prepared by the Lord himself. It was silent. Nobody asked him who he was. And you can imagine them eating and looking and eating and looking. And it doesn't say anything was said in that period of time. Then Jesus comes, he takes the bread, he gives them and the fish likewise. And this was the third time that our Lord showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. After breakfast is finished, they have finished eating. Peter, remember, is in a backslidden state. His love had slipped. He had denied the Lord three times. And though he had seen the Lord, there was still some grief within his heart. In the passage of Scripture we're looking at tonight, it's in verse 15. Peter's fellowship with the Lord is restored. And here, as Peter's fellowship is restored, we can look in God's Word and we can see how if your fellowship is broken with the Lord, if you have a relationship with the Lord and that fellowship is broken, here's how to restore that fellowship. The key also to motivation as far as in your service for the Lord is found in this passage of Scripture. If you're serving the Lord just to have something to do, you know what? You're going to fail at what you're doing. If you're serving the Lord just to make a show for somebody else, you know what? You're not going to serve long. If you're serving for various reasons like that, you're going to burn out and bomb out. You're not going to last in serving the Lord. The key as far as serving the Lord is loving the Lord. Here's the key to a relationship with the Lord. It's loving the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at this morning and how Paul had invested in Timothy. He mentored Timothy. He loved Timothy. And though I'm sure there were some trying times, he loved Timothy because he loved the Lord and he desired to see the gospel to go forth. Therefore, the Apostle Paul never gave up on Timothy. He kept serving the Lord. A key to fellowship with Jesus Christ is your love for Him. A key to your motivation in serving the Lord like you ought to, fanning the flame, is your love for the Lord. A reason I can say that many people who were the men that went to Lexington Baptist College that they said were called to preach and they dropped by the wayside, or if you know others who dropped by the wayside who said they were called to preach, or if you know people who profess the name of Christ and they dropped by the wayside, let me tell you the reason they dropped is because of their lack of love for the Lord. Even the demons believe and believe that Jesus is the Christ, but that don't save the demons. They have no love for the Lord. Simon Peter denied the Lord three times. And three times in this passage of Scripture, starting in verse 15, our Lord addresses Simon Peter by saying this. Look in verse 15. So when they had dined, breakfast is over, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, or Simon Barjona. He calls him by his name that he was always called by before he come to know Christ, that Jesus was the Christ. He says it again in verse 16. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, or Simon Bar-Jonah. In verse 17, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, or Simon Bar-Jonah. And I believe the Lord is calling him by that name instead of Peter, because he wants him to see where the Lord has brought him from. He is restoring that fellowship by calling him the name he was always called before Christ, before he knew Christ. Here in verse 15, as Jesus questions Peter, he says, Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I can imagine they're sitting around the fire where they've cooked fish, and who knows what else the Lord could have cooked. He could have made manna fall from heaven. He did it in the Old Testament. We don't know. But he prepared a heavenly meal, that's for sure. And Jesus looks at Simon. You can imagine as his eyes focused upon Peter, back when Peter denied him the third time was when the Lord focused and Peter noticed, and that's when he bitterly wept. So when Jesus asked Peter, or Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You can imagine Peter is pierced right down to the heart. Our Lord is questioning Peter, if you really love me, do you love me more than these? He's questioning the level of love because he uses the word in Greek, agapeo. The word agape love is that type of unconditional love. And it's a love that focuses on the object. Our Lord's love is focused upon His children. He agape loves us. He loves us with agape love, an unconditional love. It's not based upon who you are, what you've done, what you look like, what you're going through, what you might go through, what you said, what you didn't say. It's based upon God's grace. This is the love that Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples? Do you love me more than these that are with you? Listen to what Matthew's gospel says in Matthew 26 and verse 33. Peter said unto Jesus, though I should die with you, yet will I not deny you. Likewise also said all the disciples. Peter had expressed his love for Jesus. The Word of God says, down in verse 9 of chapter 21 of John, as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Where did Jesus get the bread from? Doesn't say, does it? I want you to notice the words, fire of coals. The only other time that's used in Scripture is back in John 18, in verse 18, when Peter is warming himself by the fire of coals, and he denies the Lord. The scenario, the smell, the look of Jesus, no doubt this is coming back to Peter of his sinfulness. And our Lord says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you agape me more than these others? Peter's response, he says, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. You know I love you with a brotherly love, a familiar love. I think Peter knew his shortcomings and his boasting that he always was quick to answer and often putting his foot in his mouth. Peter's learned a lesson here. knows that his love fell short of what it should have been because he denied the Lord. In other words, Peter is not even going to compare himself with the other disciples. Although all had fled, Peter said, "I'm going to die if I have to prove my love for you." Peter didn't do that. So when he said, "Yes, Lord, you know I phileo you," Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs. Tend to my lambs, the little ones. I want you to tend to them." What Jesus is telling Peter, he says, "I want you to serve me." Our Lord is drawing Peter back in. And so the Word of God tells us in verse 16, "He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Do you really love me? Do you really agapeo me? He dropped the comparison. He didn't say more than these. He just simply says, "Do you agape me?" Peter's response says, "You know, Lord, you know, yea, Lord, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know I phileo you. You know I love you as a friend, as brotherly love. You're like a brother to me." Now, don't get me wrong, and don't get Scripture wrong. This type of love that Peter's saying he loves with, it's something that's very important. Listen to what it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and down in verse 22. "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ," the word love is phileo. "If any man love not," that brotherly love, "you love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Let him be accursed. Let him be accursed of God." So this type of love Peter's saying he has for the Lord, it is important. But Peter knows he's failed the Lord. So our Lord responds the second time, "Feed my sheep." Or feed the grown-up sheep. Not just the little lambs, feed my sheep. In other words, "Peter, serve me." Verse 17, Jesus says to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, phileo thou me?" Do you really love me with a brotherly love? The Word of God says Peter was grieved. He had great sorrow. When the Lord asked him, "Do you really love me as a friend?" He cut to the quick down in Peter's heart because he said unto him the third time, "Phileo me." Do you really phileo me? Peter responds by saying unto him, "Lord, you know all things." He's got his theology right, doesn't he? "You know that I phileo you. You know I love you." Jesus accepted his answer and he said unto him, "Feed my sheep. I want you to serve me." I want you to notice what has happened here as you get a big bird's eye view. Peter has denied the Lord three times publicly. Jesus has questioned Peter three times publicly. Peter has answered three confessions publicly. The Lord has commanded Peter three times publicly. And what he's doing, he's restoring Peter, his fellowship with him. The highest priority you have in your life is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Deuteronomy chapter 6, around verse 4, is the Shema. It's what the Jews always said, and it talks about to love the Lord thy God. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." Here is a test of salvation. How one can know one really is saved is that they love the Lord God. Here is the core of our motivation for serving the Lord. It's our love for Him. You see, in Peter, what Peter sees, he sees his great sinfulness, and you remember what our Lord says, "He that's been forgiven much loves much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Well, let me tell you, everyone who's a child of God has been forgiven much. But not everyone who's a child of God senses how great they've been forgiven. The more you sense the greatness of the forgiveness that God has had for you because of how greatly you've sinned against Him, the greater you're going to love Him. And that's what drives our service for Him. Do you love the Lord? I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is often called the love chapter. And listen to what Paul wrote in verse 1. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, agape love, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal." You could speak so eloquently all the time, perfect in your speech, but all you are is a bunch of noise if you don't have agape love. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and if I have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love," you can give everything you've got away to help others, but if you don't have agape love, it don't profit you anything, is what Paul is writing here. You remember what Jesus said to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2? "I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love." My simple question to you tonight is, do you love the Lord? What our Lord does, He restores us back to fellowship with Him and back to serving Him. Peter was told to tend the lambs, to tend the sheep, or shepherd the flock. Jesus brought him back to serving Him. But you know why Peter served the Lord Jesus Christ the rest of his life, even to the point of death? And though it's a historical thing how Peter died, they say Peter was hung upon a cross upside down, giving his life for the Lord. He didn't think he was worthy to be hung right side up. Why would Peter serve the Lord even to the point of death? Let me tell you, it's a very simple answer. It's because he loved the Lord. There are times in serving the Lord you can get tired. There are times you can get burnt. There are times you can get called by somebody and they asked you for help. I can tell you from personal experience. And you know this person just wants to use you. There are times people try to take advantage. I know of me. I'm not ignorant. My wife tells me I don't think sometimes. That's true. But I'm not ignorant. I know when people are taking advantage or trying to. And it's easy to say no to them. But let me tell you what causes you to keep serving even those that you know are trying to use you. It's love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of y'all might remember the young fellow we tried to help out that was caught up in drugs. And I ministered to him. I even had him fess up to me. He was using me. I said, "No, you're not using me. I know what you're doing." He died from an overdose. People need the Lord. People that are in drugs need the Lord. Alcoholics need the Lord. People that many people don't want anything to do with, they need the Lord. My question to you tonight, are you investing your life into the lives of others by serving the Lord? You might get discouraged by some. You might feel like throwing in the hat. But if you love the Lord, you're going to continue to serve. My question is, do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, you're going to love in spite of, because that's how the Lord has loved us. He's loved us unconditionally. The Word of God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." It doesn't get more precious than that. He fills our cup up till it overflows. You know what? That's the sweetest love you'll ever know, is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love Him? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll have a hymn of invitation. Our Father in heaven, Your Word speaks to us right where we are. It is Your Word we need to take heed to. And it is Your Word that challenges us in our lives. Lord, I ask that the Word that has been spoken from Your Word would speak to our hearts, convicting of sin, convicting of lack of service, and showing us the reality it's because of the lack of love we have for You. Lord, break our hearts. Because there are many people in our world with broken lives. Broken because of sin, and yet they know it not. Lord, I ask that You'd help us to love like You love. We must confess we fall short of that. But we also must confess You give us the power to love like that. Lord, work in our hearts and in our lives to bring glory to Your name for Christ's sake. Amen. If you take